When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. My name is Az. I am on my own today. It's just me. This is me talking about my wild card. The button is pressed. I have confirmed said wild card, so there will probably be a boozy night with Mark where we talk about it in a lot of detail. But I wanted to just get something out just with my early thoughts about players that I know pretty much that I'm going to have in my team. And that kind of stuff, and some of the players I'm considering as well. Got to be honest, I put together a team this morning, and then I've been looking at Twitter, and it's horribly similar to a lot of the teams that I'm seeing, which is never really what I want. So there might be a couple of... I want to have at least three picks, basically. That's kind of genuinely my rule, to have three kind of slightly different players than other people. So we'll see how that goes and go from there. Hi, everyone in the chat. Lots of happy faces. No toilet humour this week. The toilet is fixed. Very apt doing a WC draft just after all that. It was a nightmare, that was. But yeah, all fixed now. In the new house, things are starting to get sorted. There's less boxes around. Pictures aren't up yet, but they'll be up soon. Right, let's go straight into it then. So, I mean, the first section of this is going to be fairly standard. Nailed on wildcard picks, like players that I'm just definitely going to have him in my side. Salah's obviously there, number one. Just playing the best football he's ever played, in my opinion. Showed it again, stepped up against City. Amazing goal. He's averaging 10 points a game. His XG is the highest in the league, 4.89. High expected assists as well, 1.57 compared to some of the other, like, you know, goal scoring players like that. So showing that he can be getting assists as well. Up to 12.6. Yeah, I mean, Matt B42 says Salah the best player in the world. Completely agree. He's on another level this season, and you know that game against City kind of just really showcased just how amazing he is. The pass of Mane was fantastic. They're linking up well, and the goal he scored. So let's not go on too much about Salah. There's no way he's leaving my side. I put Cancelo next. I mean, obviously, you know, lots of goals in the game, which was great as a neutral. But up until that point, you know, they've kept a clean sheet against Chelsea, Southampton, Leicester, Arsenal, Norwich, Spurs. I think you need a City defender going in. I think Diaz is a good pick as well. I think he's 6.1. So one of Diaz or Cancelo. Obviously, with Diaz, you get the absolute nailed-on-ness. But I think Cancelo is... You know, I mean, it was, you know, a lot of the talk is he's City's best right back and City's best left back. He's already chipping in with some attacking returns, which is stuff that we maybe didn't see so much from last season. Two assists already. His XG is low, but his expected assists is not massively high, but it's okay. But he always comes into the midfield and can kind of dictate stuff from there when he drops in. So, yeah, I really like Cancelo. Antonio is there as well. I mean, I think we're going to see some people selling him on wildcards. I think you've got to be pretty brave to sell him, but the fixtures do turn. I mean, Everton, Spurs, Villa, Liverpool, Wolves, Man City. It's not an incredible run for him. Obviously, his price has gone up a lot. He's up to 8 now. He's averaging 7 points a game, which is... You know, one of the best in the league, but obviously blanked in the last game, had the red card. Actually, I think he might even be averaging more than that. I think I didn't include his the game he missed, so it's probably more like 8 or 9 points he's averaging. So yeah, 45.6 owned for Antonio, an XG of 4.23, which I believe is the second best in the league, and generally just the spearhead of everything good that West Ham do. I was surprised that they lost to Brentford. Actually, I thought that would probably be quite a high-scoring game, but I thought West Ham would have enough to come on top of that. But yeah, Brentford are fantastic. We'll be talking about some of their players a bit more in a bit. So yeah, I'm not losing Antonio. I can see why people might want to if they were, you know, trying to be a bit different and maybe, you know, suffering. But I just think you can... Like, who do you get? Like, there's not that many strikers you know, who I think can just carry on the run that they're on, and with an XG of 4.23 after what, six games, it's, you know, I think it's too risky to take him out. So yeah, so they're the three kind of like boring ones there. There's a few more boring ones as well. Apologies. I mean, Lukaku is going to be coming in. 11.7 ECOS, XG 3.31, expected assists of 0.75, and he's averaging sort of around 5 points a game. It's just the fixture run, isn't it? I mean, he hasn't scored that many goals. You obviously got the two against Villa. I think this week a lot of people have already made the move from Ronaldo to Lukaku, and rewarded with another blank, because his fourth blank in five games or something. Obviously got the goal against Arsenal, then two goals against Villa, but other games he's blanked. But the other games, I mean, City, Spurs, Liverpool, maybe not the toughest, but against Southampton, I think everyone's expecting him to get big points in that. It's not putting me off, though. I still think, you know, Chelsea's fixtures, Brentford, Norwich, Newcastle, Burnley, I think you need him. I think you just can't go without him. Ronaldo is the big question. Yeah, do you partner him with Ronaldo up front? I'm going without. I just don't see how I can fit him in and not severely weaken my team. And he's a player that I won't captain. Possibly in game week 12, I might captain him. But in that same week, Chelsea have Leicester away, which isn't too bad. And Salah has Arsenal home. Okay, okay. So it's not quite as bad as I thought it was. I thought one of those teams had a better fixture. So that's going to be the worry then. You go about Ronaldo and you're heading into 12 without him. But if you left some money in the bank, or if things happen, you could always move Lukaku back to Ronaldo for that game. And actually, that's around the time when United's fixtures get really good, because after that they have Chelsea, which I mean could go either way, and then it's Arsenal, Palace, Norwich, Brentford, Brighton, Newcastle, Burnley, Wolves. Like, surely we're all going to have Ronaldo for that. So yeah, I think Ronaldo is not, well, he won't be on my wildcard team. I'd be amazed if he was. The plan was always to go without him, and I'll be well, like Mark, going with Lukaku and hoping he, you know, starts scoring some goals. Rudiger's there as well, 5.8, XG 0.3, expected assist of 0.21. He's averaging around 5 points a game, just because Chelsea's defensive record has been incredible, really. 3-0 against Tottenham, 3-0 against Villa, 2-0 against Arsenal, 3-0 against Palace. They've conceded to Liverpool, they've conceded to Man City, and they did concede a penalty to Southampton. But aside from the Southampton result, you're not too surprised to see that. It does feel like Chelsea is dipping a little bit. I mean, poor performance against City, poor performance against Juventus, 3-1 winners against Southampton, but I don't know, maybe a little bit fortunate? Or at least, I don't know, 3-1 didn't, from what I've saw, 3-1 didn't really seem to be the case of what Southampton played really well in that game. So yeah, I think we want to all see a bit more from Chelsea going forward. But Brentford, Norwich, Newcastle, Burnley in the next four, you just got to have one of their players. And Rudiger's the one for me. He's just nailed, and he's got some goal threat. Azpilicueta is a good option as well. I don't really, he's going to probably move back to centre-back and when Reece James is back. If I'm picking one, I'm going to pick Rudiger out of those two. I don't know what people do with the likes of Alonso and Chilwell or James and that kind of stuff. I was all set for a kind of Rudiger Alonso, you know, double up and just kind of ride out any benches. But I'm thinking now, I think I might just go for one Chelsea defender and Lukaku. And I think that also might pave the way to bring in Mason Mount as well, maybe in a couple of weeks. I want to see him back in the side and, you know, creating chances for Lukaku and stuff like that. But he might be someone that I look to bring in when I kind of thought he might have been out of the picture a little bit back then. The other player here is Trent. So Trent's injured at the moment, 7.5. He's averaging 7 points a game. Expected goal, 0.53. Expected assist, 2.56. He's like he's the best creator of chances in the league. I don't think we need to go into too much detail about him. He comes into Watford in the next game, assuming he's fit, which I think he all sounds like he probably will be after the international break. He's going to be back in for Watford. Their run is then United, Brighton, West Ham, Arsenal. It's not an incredible run. But he's only 22% owned, which I find absolutely unbelievable. You know, this isn't like a 40-50% owned player who I think you can take the gamble on. I think it's just someone that I think will just continue to score points, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him get near the 200 point mark again before the season is out. So yeah, he's absolutely staying in my team. One question I get is, do you think like we could move him down to someone like a Van Dijk or a Robertson? And I just don't think they can match him this season. I know Robertson's like run him close in previous seasons, but I think this year Trent and Salah to me have just taken another step up. So yeah, I'm not getting rid of Trent. Right, let's take a look at some slightly more interesting players then. So these are some players who I think will almost certainly feature in my wild card. It's going to be Ramsdale in goal. I mean, if you told me that at the beginning of the season, well, I wouldn't have believed you because he was playing for Bournemouth. Sheffield United, and they were relegated. So, but if you told me he'd gone to Arsenal and he'd like usurped Leno's first choice within sort of six game weeks, I'd be very surprised. But at 4.6, he's averaging 6 points a game. They're keeping clean sheets. He's making saves. He's made 9 saves. And he's got 2 bonus in the 4 games he's played as well. So I just think at 4.3 ownership, the fixtures of Palace, Villa, Leicester, Watford, Liverpool, Newcastle, and then it gets a bit rough. But I think you're looking at either Ramsdale. If you're going for 4.5, 4.6, you're looking at Ramsdale, you're looking at Sanchez, or you're looking to go up to someone like Saar, and I'm still not entirely sure about Arsenal in terms of how they're going to do this season, and I might actually end up with 2 on my wild card. But you know, they're kind of the informed team at the moment. Particularly the performance against Spurs was absolutely brilliant. So, you know, I think Palace next, then Villa and Leicester, and then Watford. I think they're going to be kind of quite tight games, and I think Arsenal are going to be looking to keep those games tight. And I think the partnership between White and Gabriel is looking to be quite good with Ramsdale there as well. Partey back just makes such a big difference to Arsenal. And, you know, they've found a way to get the most out of Saka and Smith Rowe and Odegaard's there and Aubameyang. Like, the team actually looks quite solid now, which I like. And they're, you know, the chemistry between them starting to pick up. They're starting to find each other with passes. All the stats of the players are increasing, which is all the stuff you want to see. I mean, for those who are going to stick with Sanchez, I don't think he's a terrible option. I mean, he'll either get you 6 or 2. Doesn't seem to be any like difference between them. It's Norwich next, obviously hard sell. City, Liverpool, Newcastle, Villa, Leeds, West Ham. It's a kind of an okay run. But to be honest, when you're wildcarding at this stage, you're going to be keeping this player until sort of, you know, beginning of January minimum. I mean, probably before that, probably after that. So yeah, you want to just get in kind of the best goalkeeper. And I think that currently is Ramsdale, unless you've got a little bit of extra money. And then I do think Saar probably is the best one to go with. Let's see what some of you are saying in the chat. So Matt B42, Sanchez over Ramsdale. Dante Drummond says, is Ramsdale nailed? Yeah, I mean, Ramsdale is an interesting one because I wasn't expecting Leno to be out of the team in the way that he was. But he's come in and had such a massive impact to Arsenal that I don't really see how they can drop him. And I think it's going to force Leno into a January move as well. Because he's not going to like being played second fiddle. And that wouldn't have been the promise that he would have been made when they let Martinez go. So, yeah, I think Ramsdale isn't going to lose his place. We might see something like we see with Kepa, where he gives Leno the odd game. But to my understanding is Kepa is almost sort of comfortable with being second choice. I don't think Leno is. So, yeah, I think Leno's going to leave and Ramsdale will really cement that. I've still got Tony. I'm probably going to be keeping Tony. 6.3 he's down to now, 4.42 points per game, actually 1.9, so a distance of 1.91. Obviously, the big decision here is who to pick out of Tony and Mbeumo. It's so close between them. I mean, Tony, 4 big chances created to Mbeumo's none. Mbeumo's had 5 big chances, though, compared to Tony's 2. Tony is operating more as a kind of assister in a way. 11 chances created. They both had an equal number of shots inside the box, and the expected goal involvement is 3.81 to Tony and 3.74 to Mbeumo. So there's barely anything in it. The pluses of Mbeumo are obviously you get out of position, 2 extra points for the goal. The benefits of Tony are you get penalties. And it's really hard to pick between them. I think the only reason I'm going for Tony is because I think there are more midfielders than strikers, which we've seen plenty of times, over the last couple of years. And going for a 5.5 million mid, I've got one lined up. Probably not too many surprises as to who that is. But I think I'm looking at the strikers and thinking there aren't a huge amount of these that I want to move for. Whereas in midfield, there might be some midfielders I want to go for. And I want to cover that Brentford attack as well. Amadurant, oh dear, as going full template. Well, honestly, what I tried to do with this wildcard was I just tried to build a wildcard that I liked and not, I honestly hadn't looked at any other teams, any other wildcards that are going out there. and just thought, ignoring all the noise of Twitter, what is the wildcard team that I would put together at this point? That's what I've come up to, and I'll show you in a minute. But yeah, Tony's in for now. I think Mbeumo's a great pick, though, so I'm not surprised to see lots of people going for him. And Smith Rowe's in, 5.3. I think he's almost certainly going to be in my side. 3.57 points per game, actually 1.16. Expected assist 0.60. It's interesting with Arsenal, of course, because you've got Saka there, you've got Odegaard as well, potentially. Saka's that bit more expensive. But when you actually look at the stats between them, there isn't a huge amount between the Arsenal mids. And I think that 5.3, sometimes you've got to just look at a player and just think, I'm getting so much for my money with that it almost makes him kind of a certain. And I think a lot of people had that with Rafinha as well, looking at him and saying, okay, he's 6.5. It's a way to tap into the lead attack. It almost feels criminal not to kind of go with him. And what I like about Smith Rowe at 5.3 is he can serve as a fifth mid. He doesn't have to be a fourth mid. You don't have to play him every week. And actually, I'll show you my transfer planner afterwards. I can get him into a few games which cover other fixtures, which I'm not too happy with players playing. There's a FPL Giants in the chat. There's a threat of rotation. Yeah, I mean, there is. I mean, you know, you've got Pepe there as well. But I think Smith Rowe, he was starting already to look last season like he just drives the team. He's starting to just drive that team forward and just get them playing. And Pepe is so inconsistent. I mean, he can be fantastic on his day, but still, I'm not sure he has the full trust of Arteta. And I think we might see rotation across all of those spots, probably less so with Saka, because he can move into midfield or drop into left back. But I think Smith Rowe is a bargain, 5.3. And I mean, we talk about you know, Arsenal having two players like in my side. That's the thing with Smith Rowe. Firstly, he serves as kind of cover in case I need it for rotation. Rotation does hit. And we saw with Suchet last season, having that kind of 5 million-ish player can work really well and come in. And, you know, it might be that he does break into my first 11 and I'm playing all regularly. But yeah, we'll see. I do also really like Saka as well. I think if you're looking for a fourth mid, I think Saka is stronger, even though the stats are kind of similar. I think historically we've seen that he has a bit more of a goal threat, and I think he's probably more loud. Actually, stop picking your nose. I'm picking my nose. I'm just giving it a little one of these. I've got hay fever in this house. I don't know why. I think it might be dusty, which is why I keep doing that. Right, so considering wildcard picks, so these are three players that I'm kind of loosely looking at, and they're currently all three of them are currently in my side. Townsend's really interesting because obviously you've got the decision to make. If you want to tap into Everton, you've got options now. You've got Townsend, you've got Gray, and you've got Doucouré, and they all just offer something like a little bit different. Townsend has got the highest expected goal involvement, 2.75. Gray's there with 1.96. Doucouré's at 1.49. It's mostly about chances created for Townsend, 13 for him. But Gray's doing well. I mean, with 9, Doucouré with 7. Shots inside the box, it's Doucouré with 9, Gray with 8, and Townsend with 5. So again, I know Townsend scored the goal, but he is looking like a bit of an assister, but a bit more. I think he's more likely to get a kind of a regular supply of assists. I think he could actually end up becoming quite a consistent sort of performer. I couldn't believe it as well. He's had 3 double-digit returns this season as well. I mean, 10-10 against Norwich and United, and then a 12 against Burnley, and an assist against Southampton. And then he's only blanked in 2 games that he started this season. So I can't believe it. And it looks like he's on pens as well. So he really does give you quite a lot going forward. I do also like Gray as well. And if you head on to Scout and you go onto the beta site and you do the player comparisons, it is quite interesting just how far forward Gray plays. Townsend is coming back quite a lot and dropping deeper, you know, being asked to do more defensively. That's what Benitez likes from those guys, kind of wingers. Doucouré's operating kind of around the halfway line, pushing a little bit advanced at times, coming back. He's, you know, quite kind of box to box. But Gray is literally playing right upside in that kind of like really attacking striker spot. So it's not surprising to see that he's having, you know, the most shots out of the 3 of them. But, you know, in terms of big chances that he's getting, there's not much kind of separating them, really. I think you can pick any 3 of them and they're all good picks. Doucouré is honestly one of my favourite players in the league. I'd love to bring him into my side. He's 5.6. He's 0.2 cheaper than Gray. 0.1 more expensive than Townsend. There's barely anything in it. I think going for one of them. I was so impressed with them against United as well. I thought they were absolutely brilliant. Rafinha's there, 6.6, player that I've been slating all season, saying that I don't really rate him as an FPL pick. Obviously, I've always said he's a class player. But he's 6.6 now. He's getting 4.43 points per game, so he's starting to kind of make good on that kind of promise. XG 1.44, expected assist 1.81. And yeah, just generally, I'm just hoping that after the international break, Leeds just start clicking a bit more. I mean, they've got the win now against Watford. They've got Southampton, Wolves, Norwich. Really want a Leeds attacker for that Norwich game. Leicester, Spurs, Brighton, Palace, Brentford. It's kind of a sea of twos and threes on the fixture difficulty rating right up until game week 16 when the fixtures turn. So with Bamford completely out of the picture, no ailing around, I think if you're going to try and target Leeds, it has to be with Rafinha. Interesting with the international break, Brazil play... very close up until the deadline. I think it might be the day before that he plays, but the reports coming out are that he's going to be back and kind of available for selection. Whether he's able to be selected is another matter, but this is the beauty of having someone like Smith Rowe coming in. It means that I can have Rafinha in, not have to use a transfer on it, and play Smith Rowe, if I need to. Vitmi says Rafinha went without a tweet, just came out. Yeah, I mean... But surely, if he actually plays the day before, kind of, he's not going to be ready to do it. So I still think he's a doubt going into that game. But obviously, we should have some more news on that as the game week draws nearer. 19.8% owned as well. So he's not a mega differential, but he's still not hitting like 30-40%. Interesting. Foden. Yeah, so let's talk about Foden. So let's talk about Man City in general. I think this is a key decision on the wild card. City's fixtures are decent now. Burnley at home, Brighton away, Palace at home, and then United, Everton, West Ham. You know, they've had a tricky start to the season, and still kept 6 clean sheets out of 7, which is just frankly absolutely ridiculous. They've scored 10 goals in 5 in 2 games against Norwich and Arsenal. They're getting their players back and fit. I mean, De Bruyne looked absolutely knackered yesterday, but Foden is looking sharp and back from his injury. So I need to think about which one I want to get. And I wanted to get Grealish back in. He's dropped in price now. He's down to 7.9. I'm just concerned that he's just really not getting the ball where I want him to. He's playing on the left, he's playing very, very far left. I think he's too good a player not to start picking up some attacking returns. And I wonder if he's going to be moved more centrally into an 8 role, as other players come back into the side. I think you're pretty much guaranteed 60 minutes from him every game. He's started every game, which is massive. Foden has started the last two, though, and he's started big games as well. So started against Chelsea, started against Liverpool as well. Torres hasn't, which is notable. What do you do with Torres? I mean, you know, he started the first 4 games and then hasn't played since in the last 3. So I think, you know, it's between Grealish and Foden for me. I think the only other option is to go for Gabriel Jesus up front and take a bit of a punt on him. But I mean, he's 8.6 million. He's can be farmed over to the right. But if you look at his minutes, I mean, he's played, 90 minutes in the last 2, 6-6 against Southampton. Played against Leicester, League Arsenal. He's been one of City's sort of best players. So I think he is an option, and I don't think we're going to see too many people with him. 7.2% owned, but Foden is even lower. I mean, Foden's at 1.4% ownership. So that's why he's currently in my side. And big props to Gianni, who I did the team selection video with. He straight away put him in this week on his wild card and got rewarded. He was debating him or Greenwood. So yeah, we'll have a good chat about that when we come to it. So let's have a look at my wildcard team then. This is what I've got currently. It's Ramsdale and goal. Alexander-Arnold, Rudiger, Cancelo, Salah, Foden, Smith-Rowe, Rafinha, Townsend, Lukaku and Antonio. And then on the bench, I've got Foster, Tony, Livramento. I've gone for Henry, the Brentford defender as well. So this is kind of what I've currently got lined up. I mean, if there are doubts about Rafinha, I can bring Tony in against Chelsea, which obviously gives me a bit of a clash. I think Livramento is just a great pick going forward as well. Got the assist for the penalty against Chelsea and now has a fixture rung of Leeds, Burnley, Watford, Villa, Norwich, which is fantastic. And I do think if you are going with a double Chelsea defence strategy, you're kind of enabled to do that with Livramento there, because if you go for Alonso or James, he doesn't miss out. You have Livramento coming in, who has got a decent run of fixtures. So that's the kind of the good thing with him. I think, to me though, like, this is an expensive defence. You know, Trent, Rudiger, Cancelo. I think if you're going with another Chelsea defender, obviously you're going to be playing four at the back most weeks. And I've never been particularly comfortable with doubling up and tripling up at the back. So yeah, I'm not sure that's going to be the route that I go down. Talking about Henry. Yeah, Henry. I mean, Brentford is kind of, they've got a good run coming up, right? I'll tell you who they've got. They've got Chelsea next, and then they've got Leicester, Burnley, Norwich, Newcastle. And I'm going to show you my plan and my fancy football scout transfer plan in a second. But there are a couple of games where I want to have coverage, and actually Brentford defence is the best one to cover it. You could go for Duffy, fixtures turn a bit. Lamptey is now back, and I still think he's probably quite a way off actually making like a start for Brighton in the Premier League, but he is back. If that happens, and Veltman goes back to centre back, Webster comes back, we've got Dunk there obviously as well. I do worry that Duffy's minutes might be curtailed somewhat. I think at the moment he's been arguably one of our best players, so I don't think he's going to be dropped kind of straight away. But do I want to be bringing in Duffy now, knowing that, you know, there might be some potential rotation down the line? And also, Brighton's fixtures aren't even that great anyway. So Brentford, looking at Brentford, you've got Pinnock, you've got Aya, you've got Henry. There's not much separating them in terms of the stats. Touching the penalty areas between 6 and 4 for all of them. The main thing of Henry is you've got more chances created. So you've got 6 chances created from Henry compared to 2 from Aya and Pinnock. So he's 0.1 less than them, and he's creating more chances, which I like from my defenders to be creating chances. He doesn't really tend to have many shots though. Pinnock's top of that with 4. Henry's had 2. So not a huge amount in it. So that's why Henry's there. And yeah, I mean, the main thing for me is I'm surprised that when I put this team together, just I very, very rarely have this much money in my defence. I mean, obviously Ramsdale's cheaper at 4.6, but having Trent, Rudiger and Cancelo is not a system that I'm, you know, normally comfortable with. But you can do it if you don't have Ronaldo. And it'll be interesting to see, because I think that's going to be the main differences between people's sort of wildcard teams. Is if you take Ronaldo out, what can you do with that extra money? And what you can do with the extra money is you can massively strengthen your defence. And when you've got two teams who are as consistent defensively as Chelsea and Man City, it's very, very tempting to back both of those to continue. And then Trent for me is just a kind of no-brainer. So I think we are going to see more people shifting to big at the back. And I think it's a completely viable strategy. And I think maybe we've only really seen that in the past when there's been wing-backs around playing regularly. You know, when we had like Alonso and Kolasinac and Trent and all these guys. And you know, I was massively going for these like attacking full-backs. But now it looks like it's kind of defensive solidarity, which is kind of the main thing. So that's the wildcard team. I advise anyone who's playing their wildcards this week to check out the planner. I've given myself a green arrow there. That's very generous of me. I did not have a green arrow. So this is a transfer plan on Scout. If you're a member, just head over to the members page and you can get one of these yourself. So you can see here just how I'm set up for kind of the matches going forward with no transfers really needing to be made. You can see Henry comes in game week 11 and game week 12 when they've got Norwich and Newcastle. And it means I can drop Cancelo against United and potentially drop Rudiger against Leicester, which would give me Cancelo, Livramento and Henry, which is a bit strange. So I'd be 4 at the back that week. But you can also see as well, Smith Rowe comes in usefully as well. He can come in game week 11. He plays Watford at home. Townsend's got Tottenham, which is obviously a harder game. So I like the fact he comes in there. And I like the fact that he gives me this coverage in game week 8 as well. Wow, a few people saying good team as nice team. Wow, I'm honoured by your praise, because normally I get slated when I do these kind of videos. Yeah, like I said, it is pretty template. I think we're going to see lots of people going with a similar team to this. I think a lot of people are going to keep Ronaldo as well. And, you know, then we're going to see sort of cheaper defences too. I think we're going to see people losing Trent as well if he stays out throughout the week. throughout the international break, and we'll see. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, the advantage of this wild card, I think, has to be tapping into Man City with the fixture run they've got and the players they've got back. And I think, you know, obviously they haven't got that striker spot, but I think with Burnley, Brighton and Palace, they should score plenty of goals over those games. Foden, though, I just know what's going to happen with Foden, because this happens every season, doesn't it? Every season we think this is his year. This is going to be it. This is when he breaks in. This is when he breaks into the team and, you know, goes absolutely crazy. And he won't play. But, you know, that's the risk that you take with City. And that's why I think having a Smith Rowe on your bench is a good option, because he can cover players like Foden missing out. So that is me. Thanks everyone for watching this video. I'm going to do another one of these videos next week, I think, in case things change. I'll be always talking about some black box. I don't think we're doing a black box this week. I think Mark and I are going to have a bit of a break. I think I need one. I'm a bit fried mentally from this move, so it'd be nice to just have a bit of a chill out on Wednesday night. But we'll be back next week with a very special guest, actually. I can exclusively reveal that we will be having Mr. Slippers, Andy Let's Talk FPL, on Black Box next week. So check that out too. But thank you very much, everyone, for watching. Is there any other questions? Amadirad, as can you touch on EO? I'm not touching on EO. Not after my spaces thing on Twitter when I got a bit too... had a few too many beers and got a bit angry with people. I think we're going to see Salah as a perma captain now for a lot of people. And I think it's going to be interesting whether people are doing that because they genuinely think he's the best option every week, or whether they're doing it because they're scared that his EO is going to be high. So I think there's going to be plenty of debates around that. Lukaku is interesting because I was expecting more from him going into this amazing fixture run. Yeah, I think the captaincy decision between those two is going to be a lot tighter. I just don't want to make a decision because I think other people are going to be doing it. I'm scared. I still think you've got to make the best call that you can from your picks. Yeah, so I'll be doing a few more of these videos throughout the week. I'll be doing a series on some of the different choices that people have got to make. So I can do more detail on the Everton mids. I can do more on Mbeumo and Tony. I can do whatever you guys want. So if you've got questions about players, just stick them in the comment section, and I will dig out some stats and look at those in a bit more detail. But for now, thank you very much, everyone, and I will see you on the next.